Amen. It's good to be here again, and I'm kind of sad, kind of excited I get to go home tomorrow, but I'm kind of sad the missions conference is, this is the last day for the actual conference, but as Brother Abel has mentioned, he's extending it through May, he said earlier. No, it was April. He actually accidentally said May, but extending it through April. However, you know, I was thinking, he mentioned to me that I can't cash my love offering till we hit the where the promise was last year. It was funnier in my head when I said that, thought that earlier. But I do appreciate, again, I know this is our last time with you, and just want to thank you all so much again for your hospitality, your kindness. We feel like home when we're here, and just love this church family. I feel like I'm preaching to our church back home is what it feels like, and I think Brother Abel's felt that same way, something similar, when he was preaching for our missions conference, and it's just kind of the same crowd and the same spirit, and it's just a blessing. Brother Abels and Miss Robin were a huge blessing to us and First Baptist Bible Church, and we just want to be a blessing to you all. So hopefully the messages have been a help to you, and we certainly want the Lord to bless. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 2, Joshua chapter 2, and if you'll stand, if you're able to read, or if you're able to stand as we read God's Word, Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2, and let me just say the music has been phenomenal this week as well. It's just been a tremendous blessing, and just been, for us, for Dina and me, our cup is overflowing. It's just been a big help to us, and we're very thankful for that. Joshua chapter 2 and verse 1, the title of the message this evening is Grab the Rope. Grab the Rope. You know, I've kind of been looking at, in my mind, I have different ways that we're looking at things. The first service, you know, laying up treasures in heaven. Then second of all, we need to have our hearts right before God so we can have our hearts right before men. Third message, I think, if I'm not mistaken, was the scope, or, you know, what we're supposed to be doing. Was that three? Yeah, and then this morning, what did I preach on this morning? How to be extravagant towards Jesus Christ. And so tonight, I kind of want to look at the benefits or the blessings of being involved in Faith Promise Missions. Just kind of look on the backside of it. We're not done, of course. But we'll just look at the blessings of being involved and holding that rope. And so Joshua chapter 2, verse 1, and Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come unto thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, she says, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. Joshua chapter 2, verse 7. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords, and as soon as they which pursued them after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. Verse 11, and as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours. If ye utter not this our business, and it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. Father, again, I pray that you would bless the reading and the preaching of your word tonight. Just thank you for the great week that we've had. And Lord, thank you for the promise that's come in thus far. And Lord, I know that there's many cards still out, and I just pray that you'd be glorified in all that's said and done. And just what a blessing and privilege it is to be a part of what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So there was this Mr. and Mrs. Potato, and they had a daughter. It goes with the message. It goes with the message. And so there's this Mr. and Mrs. Potato, and they had a daughter potato, and they sent her off to college and hoping that she would marry up in life, you know, and marry someone very notable, very, you know, very excited about who she was going to meet and marry. And so she met someone from college, and she brought him to, I'm nervous about this for some reason. I'm having a hard time breathing here. And she was nervous. She was nervous about bringing him to dinner, but she did. And so when Mr. and Mrs. Potato opened up the door, they looked, and there was their daughter Potato, and lo and behold, it was Dan Rather, or Tom Brokaw, one of the two. I think it was Dan Rather. It doesn't matter. And so I'd rather it be Tom Brokaw. So it was Tom Brokaw. And so they brought Tom Brokaw in, and the daughter Potato could tell that Mom and Dad were slightly disappointed, but they didn't say anything. And so they sat through the meal and something non-starchy. And they sat through the meal and got done eating. And the daughter Potato could tell that Mom and Dad just weren't real pleased, you know. And so finished up the meal and they said their goodbyes, and Tom Brokaw left the house and went home. And the daughter Potato said, "Mom and Dad, I could tell that what's wrong? You weren't super pleased about, you know, having Tom Brokaw over for dinner." And the dad said, "Honey, I think he's a nice guy, but he's just such a commentator." I was talking to someone, I can't remember. I said, "I think I have one more in me." And he says, "Make it a good one." I said, "They're all good ones. What are you talking about?" One of my favorite things, one of my favorite hobbies, if you will, is sports. I enjoy just about every sport known to man. I'll watch about any sport there is on TV. And I often joke, and I'll say that, I'll watch badminton if it's a tournament. I'm just saying, if it's a tournament, if there's something at stake, I'll watch it. And sometimes even bowling. And there was one time I bowled a 301, and some might say, "How in the world could you do that?" You know, well, have you ever bowled a 300 and lost? And so I bowled a 301. So at any rate, okay, brother, I'm getting in there, Brother Abels. He's looking at the watch. Brother Abels is like, "What am I doing?" So Every tournament has its announcers. Every tournament has their play-by-play and commentators. So they do that. Every tournament does that, or every game has their play-by-play, their commentators, and that makes the game more enjoyable or less enjoyable to watch, depending on who's commentating. One of my favorite all-time announcers for football, and everyone has their own opinion, but one of my favorites is Joe Buck and Troy Aikman for football. I just think they work together well. I don't know if they're good people or not, but I just enjoy how they commentate on a game. For baseball playoffs, it used to be Joe Buck and Tim McCarver. I really enjoyed those two, and some might say they can't stand Tim McCarver, but I did. I liked those two. But one of the things the commentators will do, from time to time is to recognize the people behind the scenes. You know what I'm talking about? They'll do something special or at some point in time. Sometimes if a longtime employee has died even, perhaps, they'll put his or her picture on the screen in loving remembrance of that person, which is a very kind tribute. And sometimes they'll just, you know, if there's a rain delay or something like that, sometimes they'll just thank the hard workers and the cameramen. And then the cameramen are directed to show the other cameramen, you know, they're behind the screen, and they show, and then they raise up and wave. Tell me, everyone knows what I'm talking about, right? You've seen that happen before. Oftentimes, they'll take a camera into the production vehicle and show the multitudes of people behind the scenes that make it happen. Everyone with me on this? I hope you know where I'm going on this. And so they'll show the multitudes of people behind the scenes who make it happen. You see, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are the faces of the network. They certainly are. But what you often don't see are the literal hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people behind the scenes who are actually pulling off a successful broadcast. You have two guys up there with a microphone, you know, getting all the glamour and glory, but you have hundreds of people behind the scenes that no one even knows about. And I hope you're with me on this. What you don't see are the people holding the ropes, if you will, making certain that the job is done. And that's really what I want to look at this evening in Joshua chapter 2, as we look at some people that we don't even see. We look at some people we don't see, and I want you to just kind of focus on the importance And the joy of the people behind the scenes who make it happen. The importance of the people who make it happen and the joy that comes along with that. You see, the men and women behind the scenes in Joshua chapter 2 that make God's will both possible and successful are, of course, these people that we don't know. They're the people who are behind the scenes. And I want to notice a couple things about them or about this whole story in Joshua chapter 2. And first of all, we see men who were called by God to perform His will. There's certainly several characters that are playing in this scene, in the situation that we see in chapter 2. And the first group of people, if you will, we see are the men who were called by God to perform His will. In Joshua chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 1, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there." So these men were commissioned by Joshua, and I don't want to spend a lot of time going back and catching us up. We kind of understand what's going on there. You know, they had just encamped on the other side of the Jordan River, and then they come across the Jordan River. They're getting ready to come across and defeat the Jericho first and foremost. And so these men were commissioned by Joshua for the ever important task of searching out Jericho to see both the defensive positions and also the general morale of the people. Joshua said, "I need you two to go and find out everything you can about Jericho." Now, from Exodus, when you read the book of Exodus and the book of Numbers, Israel was finally entering into the promised land, and Jericho was on the first first of the list to defeat. So these two spies were commissioned by Joshua to sneak into the city and certainly secure some vital information. I don't know how all that transpired or how they were able to get in without people noticing, because they were certainly paying attention to the massive camp of Israel, you know, that was just outside, just a ways off. But as soon as they arrived, however, they were spotted. The king of Jericho found out where they were and somehow knew exactly where they were. Look in verse 2. "And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country.' And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab," because he knew evidently exactly where they were, "saying, 'Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." Now, I don't want to go into the deep part of this, and too deep into this, but suffice it to say, because of Rahab's faith, verse 6 tells us that she hid the men in the roof of her house and laid stalks of flax upon them. Well, the two spies were successful in their mission, as Rahab tells them in verses 9 and 10 and 11. Look in verse 9. "And she said unto them, 'I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed.'" Verse 11 says, "And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." And so I would say mission accomplished. So the two spies come in and Rahab hides them and says, "Listen, I know all about you. I know all about your God. I understand what's going on. We saw what happened to the two kings. We know what God did to bring you out of Egypt and crossing the Red Sea. And I want a part of that. Our people are scared. They're scared to death. Their hearts are melting because of you." So mission has been accomplished. With this great news, Israel's morale will be at an all-time high, knowing that the inhabitants of the land, specifically Jericho, was ripe for the pickings. You see, they had defeated those two kings, but they had not yet crossed over Jordan and started the campaign in the promised land. And so they're like, "We don't know. Is this going to work out? Is it not going to work out?" And so this news that they're going to receive is going to be of utmost importance. And so they would know that a disheartened enemy is going to be a defeated enemy. Now, as far as the defensive structure of Jericho, I mean, there's walls. As far as that defensive and how they're going to attack out, well, that's up to the Lord. I mean, the Lord's going to have to take care of the fighting. And the Lord's going to have to take care of this business. But they knew the morale of the people was low, that they were afraid. And they, because of that, they were ripe for the pickings. Now, I look at these two men that were commissioned by Joshua to go out, and I liken them, if I can draw some application for us today, which is certainly one interpretation, but we can make application. I look at these two spies as a great picture of those who have been called out and commissioned by the church to be missionaries. Those who are called out to do the great work for us. The faces, if you will, the missionaries, the faces of the church, the ones we deputize to go before us and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what many of these missionaries are on. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, all three of these are on deputation rather than furlough. Furlough is when you come home from the field to visit. Deputation is when they go out and they raise support to get the necessary funds to go on to the foreign field so that they won't have to, because oftentimes, as I mentioned before, they cannot get a job in the country they're in, so they have to be fully supported. So they're on deputation. And really what that means is we are sending them on our behalf. We are deputizing them to act on our behalf. If, Lord willing, you take on these three missionaries, I don't know if you already support them or not, I can't remember. Well, the Mallards for sure, maybe. I don't know. Depends on what your support is. Where, Brother Mallard, I might need to talk to you afterwards. And so these missionaries, they come and we lay our blessings upon them and we say, go work for us in the foreign field. We deputize you, if you will, to work on our behalf in places that we can't go. That's what missions is about. We're supporting them and we're praying for them and we're asking the Lord to have his hand upon them. I don't want to go to Boulder, Colorado. I don't feel like God's led me to go to Boulder, Colorado. I don't feel like God has called me to go to England, the United Kingdom. I don't feel like the Lord wants me to go to Australia. But I can send those who are willing to go. And that's what we're talking about. So missionaries are the faces, if you will, of the church. They are the ones out front and in the headlines. They're the ones we get the missionary letters and your computer screen monitor on the back as the missionaries, and you can read those prayer letters, and hopefully you're keeping up with those, and hopefully you're keeping up with that booklet that Brother Abels passes out. And they are the faces, the ones out front in the headlines, trotting the path before us to find out both the will of God and his way, and to see people saved and churches started. And so that's what I look at when I see these two spies. These two men in our text were men were called by God to perform his will. But next, I want you to notice we see a couple challenges before them, some obstacles to overcome. Look again in verse 3. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, well, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them, she says. Look in verse 7. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan, unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. Now, the couple of key words there in verse 7 are, they shut the gate. I mean, you shut the gate. That's kind of an important part here. The king knew that they had been there, but Rahab had told the soldiers that the two spies had left the gate and left the city. They're gone. I don't know where they went. So they shut the gates of the city to keep anyone from coming in. There's why you have gates for fortification. You don't want the enemy coming in. But when you shut a gate to keep people from going out, to keep people from coming in, you also keep people from leaving. I mean, if I shut the gate, you're not coming in. But if I shut the gate, the two spies that are inside are going to have a hard time getting out. If these two spies couldn't find a way to get out of the city, they're certainly going to be killed. Their lives are going to be in danger. Well, before they formulate the plan to escape, Rahab certainly takes advantage of this situation. You know, she has to, there's some downtime when they're out looking for the spies and they're waiting for the right time to escape. And so she takes advantage of the situation before her and pleads for the life of her family. Look in verse 12. Now, therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father. Here's what she's asking, that you'll save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death, she says. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. And so it was a pretty simple plan that Rahab is putting forth here. They tell her, if you don't tell the king of Jericho our business, then we'll save your family alive when we come to destroy the city. And she's thinking, that's a good idea to me. And so the plan in verse 18, behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let down by. Scarlet thread, I mean, there's so much that points to Jesus Christ here. She's in the lineage of Christ. It's just amazing. But that's for a whole nother message. It says, when you bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by, And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. Verse 19, and it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. So keep the scarlet thread in the window. Keep yourselves in the house. No one step out of the house, and we will save your family alive. You leave the house and you die. And so both parties agreed to that. All was well, and that's what we're going to do. But there's still a problem here. I mean, we'll do that. Okay, you stay in and we'll take care of you, and the Lord's going to have to work all that out. But here's still the problem. The spies were still in the city. The spies still needed to find a way to escape. And this passage certainly reminds us of the difficulties that those whom God has called are going to face. I mean, our missionaries, when they're sent out and they go to a foreign field or even go into the States or wherever it might be, or even starting another church in the state of Missouri, they're going to face some difficulties, and they're going to need the Lord's hand upon them. There's going to be physical situations, the safety for the family. And we read missionaries' letters where their lives are literally in danger because they're propagating the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they're looking for proper places to live, and they're needing the finances to live, and they're needing clean water and supplies for their children. I'm telling you what, there's multiple upon multiple difficulties that our missionaries face out there in the foreign field, let alone the spiritual side of things. I mean, the physical side is one thing, but spiritual is quite another. There's the souls to be won, the spiritual warfare that they're fighting. Do you think the devil is excited that you're going to be commissioning, Lord willing, three missionaries to go out and start churches? The devil's not happy for that. And so there's going to be a spiritual warfare that's taking place to try to destroy the lives of these families here today. And the spiritual warfare, then on top of that, there's the loneliness out there and the discouragement and the fear and the temptations that the devil is going to lay across paths. There's been more than one missionary that I've had to discontinue supporting because of immorality on the foreign field. I'm just saying there's battles out there, there's difficulties, there's gates that are going to be closed, and we're going to have to find a way to get through them. And that's where the church comes in to be a help. These whom God has called, these men and women whom God have called, certainly have obstacles in their path, and that's what I see in this portion. And so here's what the main point I want us to understand this evening. And that's where we see help from others to fulfill God's will. Here's what I want to get to. The help from others to fulfill God's will. Look in verse 15. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. Again, the Bible says in verse 15, let me read that again. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. Now, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I never claim to be the sharpest knife, but I'm guessing here that it wasn't just Rahab that held this cord or held this rope to let down those two spies out of the window and down the wall to safety. If I had to guess upon this, I'm saying it's more than just Rahab who was holding this rope or holding this cord to let these two men down. No doubt she enlisted the help of her family, those who would be saved from the wrath to come, to help these men get to safety. She probably got her uncle, her brother, her father, whoever she could find to come in, those who were going to be benefited from this safety, from this redemption, if you will, to help these men down. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us whether her family held the rope while the two spies descended. There's some speculation here. It doesn't say that, whether they helped or not, or she simply tied the rope to a bedpost. I mean, she might have tied it to the bedroom door, I don't know, or chandelier, who knows. And she might have tied it to the four-post on the bed. I don't know. But one thing I do know is that this family was on one side of the rope, and the two spies were on the other side of the rope. Right. That's one thing I do know. Here is Rahab and perhaps her family on this side holding the rope for the two men who had been commissioned by God, and they were on the other side of the rope. What I do know is that without Rahab and her family helping with that rope, the two spies would have never been able to fulfill God's will his way. They just wouldn't have got it done. It wouldn't be completed. Without someone helping these two men, they would have never made it back to the camp to encourage Israel with the great news that they had received. Now, I love stories like this one, and also a very similar story like this one is found in Acts chapter 9, where the believers in Antioch lowered Paul down a window into a basket, in a basket down to safety. Similar situation with a very similar outcome. And it's stories like these that encourage me as a believer to see how the Lord finds pleasure in using people like you and me to fulfill his will. He uses just common folk like you and me to get his will done. He's not looking for celebrities. He's not looking for big faces in the crowd. He's looking for common folk to grab a hold of the rope and help the missionaries get the will done. To hold those rope for God's men and women who have been called and commissioned to go into a foreign land or go into another city and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to bring good news to those who need it. It's an amazing thing. Because the Lord didn't need to use Rahab. He didn't need to use Rahab. He didn't even need to use the men in Acts chapter 9 to help Paul escape. He didn't need those people. He could have rescued them like he rescued Peter out of the prison cell in Acts chapter 12. You remember that story when Peter was sleeping and the angel came and smote him and said, "Wake up and get out of here." He smote him and he woke him up and he opened up the doors of the prison and Peter walked right past the guards and took him down to the street and then disappeared. The Lord didn't use one person to save Peter alive out of that situation. He didn't do it at all. The Lord didn't need to use Rahab and her family. He could have rescued the two spies a million and one different ways without human intervention. He certainly could have. But catch me on this. He allowed her and her family to be used to fulfill his will. Did you hear that? He allows us. He allows us to be used by him to fulfill his will. Man, that's just amazing to me. I'm like, I cherish this card. This isn't even my card. I don't even care about this one in particular. But you know what I'm saying? He allows me to be used to help God's men and God's women, those who've been commissioned to fulfill his will. I just like, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's just amazing. It's just amazing to me. And so, you see, God chose, the wonderful thing is he chose to use men and women to hold the rope, and I'm thankful that they obeyed. I'm thankful that Rahab said, "Hold on, I'm going to get my brother Jimmy. I'm going to get Jimmy, I'm going to get Louie, and I'm going to get Helen, I'm going to get, just a minute, I got a plan, we're going to get," and I'm glad that they obeyed, and I'm glad that they got on there, and I'm glad they held that rope, and I'm glad that they were able to get down. If Rahab's family, because here's why, if Rahab's family, or the believers in Antioch, would have not listened unto the Lord, the two spies and Paul would have been killed, or most likely, deliverance would have been at the hands of someone else. God would have just used someone else. Listen, folks, do we not understand that God is going, he's going to get his will done upon this earth? I mean, that's what we're praying for. We're praying for his will to be done. And what are we doing when we're doing that? We're asking him, "Lord, would you allow me to be a part of your will as it's being accomplished?" I'm guessing here. I've met these missionaries. I know Brother Mallard for quite some time. Brother Martinez and Brother Barrett, you know, don't know them as long. But I see some intestinal fortitude in these families. And I believe that they're going to get on the foreign field with or without the help of First Baptist Bible Church. I think that they're going to get on that field without the help of Brian Baptist Church if we choose not to. But why wouldn't we want to be willing to be used to hold those ropes to get them to where, and other missionaries that are going to be coming in and others that you already support. I'm just saying, now we can't support everyone, but we can certainly support the ones that the Lord leads. We can certainly get behind those whom God has led your pastor and led the church to support. And you see, here's the thing, much is at stake. Much is on the line for those who are holding the ropes, those who are behind the scenes making things happen. Oh, let me tell you what, this is where it all takes place right here. This is where it all takes place because I mentioned the difficulties that they're going to face and the physical things they're going to face and the spiritual things. They just don't want your finances. And I would be willing to guess that if you were to ask a missionary, would you rather have a monthly support or would you rather have the prayers of the saints? I'm guessing they'd probably rather have the prayers of the saints. Because it's just not all about money, although it takes money to work. But what it's all about is prayer and getting behind them and praying for them and actively seeking God's face on their behalf. This is where it all happens right here in the church. This is where it happens right here. And they go out and they're successful in the Lord's eyes if they're making headway or they're seeing great things accomplished because of churches just like this. We may not think, here's the thing, we may not think that doing our part or being faithful to God in His house and living a holy separated life or being steadfast in the faith is that important. We might not think, well, it's not that big of a deal. We may not think that we're doing much by getting involved and holding the ropes for others is important, but I'm telling you what, it's more important than we'll ever realize on this side of heaven. More important than you'll ever comprehend. Listen, what is taking place? What's taking place in worldwide evangelism cannot take place without faithful church members holding the ropes for others. It won't happen. It won't happen. If you want the Lord to bless Berean Baptist Church, stay faithful in missions. Be a missions-minded church. I mean, missions need to be right up here. I say at First Baptist all the time, all ministries at First Baptist Church are centered around the pulpit. All ministries, from the nursery to the senior saints, it's all centered around the pulpit, meaning it's all centered around the preaching of God's Word. This is what we do. We preach God's Word. The preaching is preeminent. But as we look at the preaching of God's Word, it's always going to point us to winning the lost and fulfilling and teaching, baptizing and teaching that Brother Abel's talked about, I believe it was this morning. It's all centered around fulfilling the great commission that God has given us. I mean, missions needs to be way up here. And I know that it is at Berean Baptist, and praise the Lord for that. And perhaps that's one of the reasons why the Lord is blessing you. And it is. That's why the Lord is blessing you. And we need to remain faithful and realize that a great work is being accomplished just by being faithful to God and to His Word. Much is being accomplished. So here's the point I want to make, and we'll be done. When we choose to get involved with Faith Promise Missions, we're holding the rope for those who are going before us, those who have been called, those who have been commissioned to follow the Lord's will. When we choose to get involved with Faith Promise Missions, we're helping others overcome certain obstacles that would otherwise hinder them from following God's call. Brother Boonstra, Brother Abels, others could come up here and other missionaries out of this church could come up here and tell stories, even if they have heard from firsthand accounts of missionaries who have been in trouble and have been in precarious situations, and there were people faithfully praying for them and on the home front, and the Lord miraculously provided because of that. Amen. I'm telling you what, it happens. It's true. Yes. Because of men and women just like you who are holding the ropes behind them. When we choose to get involved with Faith Promise Missions, we're helping others spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who are desperately needing to hear some good news. Could you imagine if the spies back, if the spies delayed in their coming, let's say the spies got killed and the children of Israel are waiting, certainly the Lord would have worked something else out, but it would have brought some distraught or some despair upon the nation of Israel, like, well, they killed the spies. What are we going to do? I don't know how that's going to work out. No, they needed to hear the good news that those two spies were bringing. The two spies at Jericho came back with a report in Joshua chapter 2 and verse 24, saying, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. And they're like, yeah, that's the best news of the day. They're like, let's go get them. I'm like, let's go do it. And then when when the Lord tells them how they're going to defeat them, and Joshua brings the news to the children of Israel about marching around the camp for 7 days and don't say a word and blowing the trumpets and all that, man, they listened intently and they did exactly what Joshua said because they've been encouraged with the good news of their deliverance. Man alive, God has a plan. God has a plan. We just need to make certain that we get on that plan. And we follow His plan and do what He asks us to do. So because of their report, Israel was emboldened in their faith, and they believed God to deliver their hands. If they had not received that report, let me ask this question. If they had not received that report, if Rahab's family had not held the ropes, would they have had the faith to follow God's command? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is for that. Would we read of the miraculous event of Jericho and its walls falling straight down? Would we have read that? Would that be an account in our scriptures? We may never know. Because believers in Antioch held the rope for the Apostle Paul, because they held the rope for him, he was able to go to Jerusalem and meet with the apostles and start churches and write 3/4 of the books of the New Testament. I'm just saying, if it wasn't for those specific rope holders, if it weren't for those people being faithful, God would have had to simply use someone else to get his will done. And so God's will be accomplished on this earth, and the Lord is looking for those who will get on board and grab a hold of the rope. Just be faithful. You might be saying, man, I've been given to missions for 35 years. Give for another 35 years, Lord willing. Amen? Amen. Well, I've been, as this world's getting darker and darker, be more faithful. You know, get involved and pray and pray and pray. The darker this world becomes, the brighter our light will shine. And so don't be discouraged. Don't be motivated by fear. Trust the Lord. He's not giving us the spirit of fear. Get involved. Hold that rope. Be faithful and do what we're supposed to do and fulfill the Great Commission. How much of a blessing it is to be behind the scenes rope holder. You know, that's a blessing that I just don't think that we fully comprehend. To be used by God, what a blessing it is just to be simply used by God without all the notoriety and without all the fame. And missionaries aren't looking for notoriety and fame. I'm not implying that. I'm just saying without being in the forefront, without being out there commissioned by God, I don't think we understand how much of a blessing it is to be a faithful, choice servant of God. It's just a blessing. You see, we don't know any of the names of those who held the ropes for the two spies and for Paul, except for maybe Rahab and Ananias. You know, maybe those two were involved. I don't know. But we'll meet them in heaven. I believe that we're going to meet them in heaven. We're going to meet those rope holders in heaven one of these days. And none of us here today have any notoriety or fame, so to speak. And no one's looking for that. No one's looking for that. We're simply sinners saved by grace. But if we'll get behind God's plan and God's men and women following His plan and following His will, if we'll grab a hold of the ropes and help them fulfill His will, the blessings that we'll receive in heaven will be immeasurable. You ever heard that song, I'm a life, thank you for giving unto the Lord? Man, I wish I could sing right now. No, I'd probably clear the auditorium out. But we're gonna meet people in heaven that they're going to thank us or thank you, or you're going to be receiving blessings for souls saved that you have no idea about whatsoever. You're going to have no clue. They're going to thank you for giving unto the Lord. And you'll be like, I didn't even know. But because of faithful giving, souls are going to be saved. Man, and it's going to show up at the judgment seat of Christ is where it's going to show up. So if we'll grab a hold of the rope and help fulfill His will, the blessings will be immeasurable. When those cameramen scan the production truck, I was thinking about this afternoon. When they scan that, when those cameramen, you know, they go into the production truck, you know, and they're busy looking at like 812 monitors and things of that nature, and they turn and wave, you know, and they smile, and you know, some of them, you know, fixing their hair or whatever, you know. When they do all that, I don't think I've ever recognized a one of them. I don't like, oh, there's Billy. I've never done that. I don't know who those people are. But here's the thing, they're all a part of the team. They're all a part of what God has got going on. And so today and the rest of this month, we're asking members of Berean Baptist Church just to simply grab a hold of the rope and just be a part of what the Lord is doing through the vehicle of the church, and grab a hold of that rope and get involved with missions. And it's my desire, my prayer for First Baptists for there to be 100% participation. And just if it's just whatever the Lord leads you to do, just get involved. To get involved with Faith Promise Missions to help those who have been called by God to simply perform His will. These missionaries here before us this evening, they have been called by God to go to the foreign field. Boulder would be a foreign field to many people. They have been called by God to go to the field. The many others that you already support to different corners of the world have been called by God. And there's need for more churches planted in this great state and throughout the United States. There's such a tremendous need out there. And we can do something about it if we're simply willing just to grab a hold of that rope. We can be involved, I believe, and we can do more if we'll just ask the Lord to allow it to happen. With heads bowed tonight, I'm going to have another time of invitation, just give you one more opportunity to respond this evening. I haven't mentioned anything about salvation, but again, my prayer is that if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, that you...